Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Auckland Cricket Podcast. My name is actually Ian Lexon, despite the croaky voice. Apologies for that. Hopefully I'll make it through to the end without just fading into the background and disappearing altogether. And I have two usual accomplices with me this evening. I have Jamie Lloyd and Neil Gray. Welcome, gents.
Hello.
Hello.
This is our Champions League special. We have pretty much ignored anything else that's going on in the cricketing world because we are totally focused, like the Aces, on the Champions League. Biggest game in town. Apparently there's some other thing going on over the next month in New Zealand where they're playing rugby or something like that. But we don't care. It's all about the Champions League. So to honour that, we are going absolutely mental. We're going to run through pretty much all the teams. We're going to work through how the Aces are going to win this competition, what they have to do to get there, what their chances are, who else we think are the big threats, what are the big name players, everything you could possibly need to know. And if at the end of this you don't think you've actually found out enough, check out our website. We've got a whole page devoted to it with a whole bunch of information, videos of the guys, which we'll be updating. So www.aucklandcricket.co.nz will have anything that you might need to know over and above the fulsomeness of this podcast. Right, so let's start with how the Aces are going to get there. They're in a qualifying tournament to start with. Starts on the 19th of September. They've got to play Kolkata Knight Riders and Somerset. We've now found out who the English teams are. They play Kolkata first up, and then they've got Somerset second. Bit of a weird situation. Two groups of three. You only get two games, and then you've got to finish either top or best second place. So pretty cutthroat. Kolkata Knight Riders, who are we looking at, fellas? Obviously, there's going to be some big names in that lot.
Yep, they have a whole raft of big names, including Shakib Al Hassan, the captain of Bangladesh, Gambier, Pathan from India, the likes of Brad Haddin, and Brett Lee from Aussie, Jacques Cullis from South Africa, Owen Morgan from England, and Ryan Tendiscata from Holland. So clearly they've got a pretty stacked lineup, and I think they're actually probably one of the real threats to go right through because a number of those players are also in form. So yeah, a little bit scary.
Of course, they only came third in the... Fourth in the IPL, didn't they? So, you know, doesn't always... good team on paper doesn't always happen. But, Neil's underlining Owen Morgan.
Apparently he's injured.
Yes, he was out of the last one day, wasn't he? So he's a potential no. Well, that would be good, actually, because I think he's a huge danger player for them. So I think, though, it's quite good that we play them first up because it's an absolute nothing to lose game. So you just go in there and, you know, try and do what you're going to do. And, you know, 90% of people out there won't be expecting the Aces to take that game. But hell, if you get that one, then you're away laughing. All right, what about Somerset then?
Well, their biggest loss is losing Kieran Pollard to the Mumbai Indians because he's obviously a real T20 superstar, and he was pretty key to their qualification. They've got a lot of good young English guys, but their three main players are Kieswetter, the wicketkeeper that opens the bat for England, and then their two overseas players, they've got Murali Kartik from India, who's obviously going to bring a lot of experience of the conditions and stuff, so he'll be a threat. And then they've got Roelof van der Merwe from South Africa as well. Had a pretty good T20 World Cup, so he's a threat with the ball and the bat. So I think the Aces, as long as they cope with Kartik and van der Merwe in difficult conditions, I would imagine, and then if they get Kieswetter out early, I think they could probably tip Somerset over.
They have been the form team, I think, both this year and last year, in pretty much all forms of the game, and they didn't actually win anything, did they? But
I mean,
they've been right up
there. There is one thing that kind of confused me. We're working off Podders. We are working off the official Champions League T20 squad lists that were sent out. They seem to have missed Marcus Trescothick off the list, or he's not playing because
maybe
he can't leave home because of his stress illness.
I did hear rumours that he's had a relapse of his stress-related illness and will not be travelling with the team.
Again,
I'm glad you said that because I was going to start making jokes about it, so I won't now.
That's a big loss as well. To go with Pollard, I thought that was maybe why he wasn't on the list, but to lose their two biggest hitting batsmen, I think we'll tip Somerset over.
That's a huge loss because he's absolutely dominant at county level, isn't he?
Yeah.
He scores big runs. All right, so while we're busy knocking over those two teams and making no show of it whatsoever, in the other group there's going to be three teams, which will be Trinidad and Tobago, Leicestershire and Rahunu. So we might potentially have lucked into the wrong pool there, but never mind. I'm going to start off with Trinidad and Tobago. They partook in what is one of the more bizarre 2020 domestic competitions, I have to say. Over 2 weeks, there are 24 games in this competition. So if local players think they have it bad in terms of playing games back-to-back, they ain't got nothing on these boys. And interestingly, in this competition was Hampshire and Somerset. I'm not quite sure how they ended up in a domestic 2020 competition, but they did. And there was also some team called the Combined Campuses and Colleges. So
that was actually a team in the West Indies.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I still just thought it was interesting and worth mentioning, though. And they won the final. They beat Hampshire, actually, in the final. Again, slightly odd. 147-7. Hampshire, not even close. 111-8. So our own Jimmy Adams was playing in that comp as well. They have actually got some pretty big names, though. They've got Adrian Barath. They've got Darren Ganga with his brother...
Sherwin
Ganga, that well-known brother of his. They've got Darren Bravo, but minus his brother, Dwayne. And they've got another... It's all about brothers, basically, with Trinidad and Tobago, because there's Jason and Dave Muhammad, which I think is a great name, Dave Muhammad. And they've also got Dinesh Ramdin and Ravi Rampal. So I guess none of those are huge names, but they're all names that we've heard of, which does give them, I guess, a bit of experience and potentially a bit of an upset there or two, because who knows what they can do. They're West Indians. I think they'll be zeros or heroes kind of guys. So that's TNT. Leicestershire, Neil.
Well, they're an interesting team as well. They battled the final victory. They've got a few like older heads. They've got Hoggard, who's obviously coming towards the end of his career, and then Paul Nixon, who's so far past the end of his career.
He's 40, isn't he?
A dot in the background. But so this will be his swan song. They're real stars. The James Taylor, who's the big hope, future hope of English batting, the little pocket dynamite. And then their overseas players, they've got Andrew McDonald doing it for ginger Australian cricketers everywhere as the all-rounder who was one of the best players of the English competition, up at the top of the order batting. And
he's from Victoria, right?
Yeah. And then some useful. We played a few tests for Australia. And then an interesting subplot to their thing will be whether Abdul Razak can get a travel visa to actually participate in the competition as a Pakistani, a bit of an issue that I haven't heard whether it's been resolved or not yet. Razak's fairly confident that he'll get one, but...
Surely if he's been listed in the official 15 and it's coming out on a press release from CL 2020, then that should happen, you'd think. Okay, so who do we think is going to come out of that group then?
Oh, you're not going to do Rahunu.
Oh, Rahunu, sorry, Rahunu. Yes, most people obviously already know all about Rahunu and who they've got, but I'm just going to run through it anyway. They've got a whole bunch of big name, yes, name singular. There's a lot of people here who I would delight in running you through, the likes of Dinesh Chandimal, Janaka Gunaratna, Melinda Sirawadana, and it goes on. The only one you've probably heard of is some guy called Sanath Jayasuriya. He didn't actually play in the final for them, where they toppled Wyambar. Oh, it sounds like a cracking final, actually. Rahunu scored 198-7, Wyambar 198-8. So it went to a super over, and Wyambar got 6, Rahunu 9, and 5 balls. So they won in a super over, which sounds like an awesome final. Their comp, slightly different to the West Indies one. 10 days, 13 games, so still pretty contracted. Only 5 teams in it. But yeah, there's not a lot to tell about the Sri Lankan boys, because they will be the ultimate unknown quantity. Because apart from Jayasuriya, none of those guys have made any kind of impact on an international or even probably an A-level as far as I'm aware. So yeah, it will probably struggle to see them come out of that group. Although having said that, they're on conditions that will be more suited to them and probably got 4 spinners in that lineup, I'd imagine. So I know I can ask that question. Who's going to win that? Yeah, Leicester would have to be favourites, surely, wouldn't they? Coming straight out of a competition that they've just won.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I'd lean towards Leicester.
Yeah, I think the Sri Lankans will get the pump. Because Sanath Jayasuriya is about as old as Paul Nixon.
He only has to bat for like 10 overs, though. Mm. And he could be dynamite. So, who knows?
I think Leicester, Trinidad and Tobago, Rahunu. And then in the other group, it'll be Aces.
The Aces, obviously.
Yeah, I was just weighing up whether they were going to beat Kolkata, but I think they will. The Aces, Kolkata, and then Somerset will be bottom.
Yeah, I think Leicester and the Aces will top their groups, and Kolkata will sneak through in that third place spot.
Awesome. I seriously think, I'm saying the Aces and maybe slightly half in jest, but I reckon we really can do it. Mm. We get on top in that first game. Those guys are coming off cold as well, half of them, in terms of not having played cricket, and the boys have been doing so much training, and they'll be playing games and warm-ups. I think they'll be really up for it. So
Yeah, I mean, there's an old adage in sport that a champion team will beat a team of champions, and I think that's why teams like Leicester and the Aces are potentially threats to go the whole way, because they do play together all year round. They don't rely necessarily on one or two big overseas names. They're just, you know, both of those sides have got solid professional cricketers who've been playing for a long time. They know their business, and you know, any one of the 11 on the park could step up at any given time and make the difference. So I'd watch out for the Aces and potentially both England sides to make some noise in the tournament.
Fantastic. Wouldn't it be great actually if the Kolkata Knight Riders crashed and burned? Just went out. It was us in Somerset. I think it'd be brilliant. All right, so we have now decided that the Aces are going through. Easy, done. That means they move on to the main tournament. Oh, by the way, if you do want to watch any of these games, we've managed to confirm that Sky is taking all of the tournament, and that includes the qualifying stuff as well. So that'll be live on Sky. It will require a bit of coffee drinking, beer drinking, whatever keeps you up, basically, because they're both 1:30 matches, our qualifying games. Or set the MySky, whatever you like, and watch it in the morning. But when they move through to the main draw, that's when they really step up against some of the big boys. We get all the IPL teams, got a couple of Aussie teams and a couple of South African teams. So let's start with a couple of those Indian teams to start with. Guys who won the IPL, Chennai Super Kings. Mm-hmm. They must have some pretty big superstars in that lineup, Jamie.
Yeah, they do. They're the defending Champions League winners, as well as the current IPL winners. So, you know, they're clearly a strong team, captained by Dhoni and coached by our own Stephen Fleming. And then if you just look down their list of names, they've got Bollinger, Dwayne Bravo, Dhoni I already mentioned, Michael Hussey, Albie Morkel from South Africa, Suresh Raina, who's pumping it in England at the moment. He's the only Indian batsman that's doing anything, unfortunately. And also they have in their ranks Tim Southee and Scott Styris from New Zealand.
He might not actually get on the field on that side, eh?
Although Tim Southee's he's played the majority of the games for them. He's, you know, been a little bit of a star of T20 bowling in the last 12 months. So I'm sure he'll get some games. But yeah, Scotty might be carrying the drinks more often than not. So they're a real chance. I think their real trump is actually the Fleming-Dhoni partnership. I just think they run a really tight unit, and more than some of the other teams are able to bring together, you know, kind of a team of licorice all sorts and form them into a cohesive unit.
You have to say, being IPL and CL 2020 champion, they have to be favourites, wouldn't they?
Yeah, you'd think so.
All right, what about guys who they beat in that IPL final, which was Royal Challengers Bangalore, I think, wasn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Mumbai Indians lost in the semi, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's do them, regardless. Yeah,
again, a host of quality names in there. AB de Villiers from South Africa, Tillakaratna Dilshan from Sri Lanka, Chris Gayle from the West Indies, Virat Kohli, who's one of the up-and-coming Indian batsmen, Dirk Nannis of Australia and the Netherlands, and our own Daniel Vittori. Yeah, but possibly not quite as stacked as a couple of the other Indian teams. I think some of those players are also out of form and perhaps coming towards the end of their careers. You know, the likes of Gale and Vittori there.
Couple of real X-factor players here, though, aren't they?
Towards the end of his career.
He is,
but I'd still say he's an X-factor kind of player who can, on his day, and if he gets into, not only on his day, if he gets into a role from game to game, can just take games away from people. And same with Dilshan as well. Imagine those boys opening up. Jesus.
Chris Gayle's very hit and miss, though.
He is.
So, and, you know, in a tournament like this where it's knockout, yeah, he may win the tournament for them, you're right, or he could just have a few misses and not fire at all. The third Indian team, I may as well jump to them, is the Mumbai Indians. This is the team that I think, because of their personnel, could potentially win the whole thing, you know, without having to break a sweat.
Oh, so you've circled James Franklin there, so that says it all, doesn't it?
How can you say to them?
Well, can I
talk?
Why
don't you just wait and let him explain?
I think any team that has Kyron Pollard, Sachin Tendulkar, and Lasith Malinga could beat any combination of any other players in the world on their day. Malinga's an absolute terror with his in-swinging and dipping Yorkers when he gets that right. And we've seen in, you know, World Cups and in IPLs when he does get it right, you know, the opposition doesn't stand a chance. And then Tendulkar, we all know what he can do. And Kieran Pollard, you know, again, he's probably a little bit hit and miss like Chris Gayle, but potentially even more destructive. And then they've got a host of other names there as well. Indian players, Munaf Patel, Rohit Sharma and Harbhajan Singh. And yes, our very own James Franklin.
I'm sure
he's very good at carrying the drinks.
So he's going to get really good at that, yeah. Eh? He'll have everyone knows who has what kind of drink and whether they like a big one or a short one. Or Yeah,
so of those three Indian teams, I actually like the Mumbai Indians, despite the fact they finished third. Yeah, and they've got a couple of, well, this guy called Carney's one of the young Indians who's making a few waves and did in the IPL as well. So
it's a lot of power pack stuff there. We'll get onto the other teams in a second. I'm just wondering is this a kind of tournament where if you rely over heavily on your big names, your big stars, I mean, obviously it's great to have those guys in the lineup, but is the real strength of a team in the fact that what lies behind those guys, because you know they're not always going to come off every single week, or do they just have enough stars that it doesn't matter that some of them will, do you reckon? I mean, we're going to have to rely on that a bit as the Aces, because let's face it, we don't have those kind of big names on our side.
Yeah, you never know. That's the thing with 2020, because it's so compressed, you know, a team of stars can just go out there and one or two fire and they blow someone off the park, or, you know, but like I said, the champion team as opposed to a team of champions can come through. I think, like we saw in our own competition, the HRV Cup, that the Aces were clearly the best team, but one area where they really dominated other sides was in the field. They were by far the best fielding unit, and I think that could, you know, potentially play a big part in this tournament as well. And that's where I think the Chennai Super Kings are slightly possibly ahead of the other Indian sides. Fleming's got them fielding pretty well. The Aces will be pretty hot again, and I imagine the South African sides be pretty flash fielding units.
You kind of think that the Aces probably actually have to target 10-15 runs at least a game, maybe even 20 runs a game to save with their fielding, and possibly even target one or two wickets a game to get to potentially make up for where they might lack a bit of firepower in other areas.
Yeah.
Okay, Neil, South African sides, what have we got? Who have we got?
Okay, well, first up we've got the Cape Cobras, who are basically stacked with South African internationalists, and that includes...
Internationalists.
They are missing Jacques Callis, who's obviously with the Kolkata side, but they still have Dumini, Gibbs, Kemp, Langeveld, Ontong, Peterson, Philander and Steyn. So that's fairly impressive, and then you put on top of that Andrew Puttick, who scored 100 against Tago, I think, 2 years ago's Champions League in one of the first games. And then they've got Owe Shah as their overseas player, who, although he didn't have a great tournament the year he was over here for Wellington,
still a good player.
Still experienced and a bit of a threat. So they are, as a fielding unit, they are fantastic if we're talking about fielding with Dumini, Gibbs, Peterson's a bit of a gun fielder, so... They're going to be pretty handy, and they've obviously got the experience of being there before and going reasonably far.
Yeah, they were there last year, weren't they?
Yeah, I think they've been there all 3 years. So.
Did they make the final? No, it was two Indian teams
last
time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but they've obviously got the experience. The Warriors aren't exactly short of South Africans either. They've got Botha, who's obviously was the South African T20 captain for a while, Nicky Boye, Boucher, Colin Ingram, Nitini, Wayne Parnell, Ashwell Prince, Juan Theron and Lonwabo Tsobi. They don't have any overseas players, so I think again that'll be similar to the Aces, a team that plays together a lot and just knows each other's strengths in and out and contributes all the way through, I would imagine. South African teams would tend to be like that. They've got someone that's just coming in at 6 or 7 and just can hit a real long ball and contribute a couple of overs and change a game, and then they've got their superstars that will make a difference, the Botas and the Parnells. Kind of
should be they'll be competitive though, won't they? Very competitive, especially the Cobras, you think.
Yeah, I'd say the Cobras will be a real threat, and the Warriors probably a bit weaker. Bota and Parnell will be threats in the 2020 format, and Tyrone's a good death bowler, but better teams will or get the,
not quite the weapons
on top of them yet.
Okay, so the last two teams that we need to cover are the Aussies. And these guys are actually, I'd say, having had a look over them, lacking in the kind of names and strike power that you'd think might be prevalent. Not many of what makes up the Aussie side. In their New South Wales first, they've got Stuart Clark, Nathan Horitz, Phil Hughes, Simon Kadich, Steve Smith, David Warner, and Shane Watson. So a few names there, but they actually lost that final of the Big Bash to South Australia pretty comfortably, actually. And they and New South Wales lost quite a few of their early games in that competition, had to make it through the prelim final where they knocked over Tasmania. Yeah, in the final of New South Wales, 153 for 8, South Africa 155 for 2. So I'll get on to South Australia in a second, but a good side. Again, I was watching something with, I think it was Simon Kadich, who's skipper, talking about their chances, and they rate themselves as a really big fielding unit, and I think that'll be a really strong part of their game. I mean, if they've got Watson and Warner going at the top of an innings, that's pretty useful. They've also got the guy who was the top wicket taker in the Big Bash last year, young guy, very young guy, called Patrick Cummins. He was 17 last year. He took 11 wickets with an economy rate of 6.59, which is pretty outstanding for 2020. So pretty young, pretty raw, but obviously pretty good as well.
I'll just say something. Similar to the World Cup, when we did the World Cup pod and we picked the person that we thought would succeed from, that no one had mentioned, would be the star of the tournament.
Yeah.
Stephen O'Keefe from New South Wales. He's the one, so he's a spinner, bats as well, and he's the one that all the Australians think should actually be in. Well, probably. Lyon's done enough in the last test, but he should be the next big thing. He's played some 2020 games for Australia. I reckon he'll be the player of the tournament. Boom. It's on the table, Podders.
Right. Watch Stephen O'Keefe crash and burn in this tournament.
No.
Who'd you pick for the World Cup?
Which World Cup?
Last one.
The one that you just said. No, who'd you pick as your star of the tournament or whatever?
Oh, Imran Tahir.
Oh, you did pretty well there.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, moving on. New South Wales, decent chance, half-decent side.
Going to be my team behind the aces.
Well, if Warner and Watson can fire, then you think that's going to get them off to a great start. Bowling, I'm not so sure about. Don't rate Horitz that highly. Interesting to see where they fit everybody, and they seem to have four openers in there, actually, with Warner, Watson, Hughes and Kadich. They're not quite sure how that's all going to fit together and where they're going to put everybody, so that will be interesting to see. But, I mean, these guys have won it before, and, you know, they're an Aussie side, so they're always going to be competitive, and, yeah, they've got a good record of making it through to not only winning it, but also making it through to finals as well. So they're a definite chance. South Australia are the interesting one. These guys, as I say, won the competition. They won it convincingly in that final. They had the top run scorer in the competition, a guy who I don't think many people have heard, Daniel Harris.
Dr. Daniel Harris,
yes. Juggles a doctoring career with two young small children, it says on the South Australian player profile website. And scored 304 runs in 7 matches. Pretty good. Average of 60. Strike rate 138, which is pretty useful. They had, behind Patrick Cummins in the bowling, best bowling, they had the next two guys who took 11 and 10 wickets. Nathan Lyon, who we've already talked about, spinner. Guy called Adil Rashid, who is an overseas player for them from England. Fairly little known. He's a leg break bowler. They also had four out of the top 10 bowlers for the Big Bash competition. So they've obviously got a real strength in that. They've got some guys that you've probably heard of, but definitely not big names by any mean. Cameron Borgas, Callum Ferguson, Michael Klinger, yeah, Nathan Lyon, who we've already mentioned, and Sean Tate.
Dan Christensen. The Aboriginal guy that was the most expensive purchase in the IPL auction.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, maybe you should have heard of him too. But yeah, none of them exactly household names or regular names even in the Australian squad. So I'd say that they're the aces of the Australian competition and that they are a great team, work extremely well together. Everybody knows their job and they've got some guys who are, I'd say, proven state performers and who I think they've had success. I think they were perhaps went the year before or the year before that. I'm sure they've been to Champions League before in a proven 2020 outfit. So I think they would be a dark horse, actually. I think they'll be a very good side and will want to be one of those really efficient teams that know exactly what they're doing and have a really good balance to their squad as well. So they'd be my pick, actually, as a as your sly wager for the Champions League 2020.
You're taking them as your second?
Yeah, obviously Aces are going to romp it, but if you know the wheels fall off or Susie the waitress makes it over to India or whatever and we get sabotaged, then yeah, South Australia for me.
Jamie?
Mumbai.
Neil?
New South Wales. I can't believe you're going for Mumbai.
That's alright, you don't have to believe it.
They're the weakest of the three Indian teams. The Royal Challengers Bangalore are awesome.
Okay, enough. So let's put our balls on the table here, and without wanting to mix in metaphors, hand on heart, fellas, can the Aces go all the way and win this thing?
If they start well, yes. If they get momentum like they had during the HIV Cup, you know, their confidence will be up. They'll gel quickly as a team, and they'll just be like a juggernaut that I think they'll be able to overcome most challenges that come their way, just because of the character within the unit. If they start badly, I hate to say it, but they could potentially fall out very early.
Mm. That first game is actually really, really crucial. Even though they've got nothing to lose,
I will tell you why the first game is so crucial, Ian.
I think the listeners are quivering with anticipation, Neil.
If you work through the process for how the people go into what groups,
yes.
If the Aces do come top, right? So they're the top qualifier from their group. They would go into Group B with the Warriors, who I think we're agreed are the weaker South African team.
Yes.
So they could probably tip them over. Bangalore, who, if you listen to Jamie, are the weakest Indian team. But I reckon it'll be a bit of a challenge.
Yes. Oh, nice.
The Redbacks, who, like you've said,
are the aces. Lexo thinks they're a dark horse.
Are the aces of the competition?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So that would be a bit of a ding dong battle, I think. And then into Group B also go the best second place team from the qualifying group, which we reckon would probably be Kolkata.
Hmm.
Who the Aces would already have tipped over previously, hopefully.
Right.
So then I think it would then come down to a two out of three between Bangalore, the Redbacks, and the Aces, which would then give them a fighting shot of getting in the semis. And from then, it's anyone's game.
Yeah, sudden death. Well, there you go. The pod analyst has looked at the schedule and said that the signs look good.
Chennai and New South Wales will make it from the other group.
Hmm.
They'll piss it.
There you go. That is the definitive forecast. Well, I agree with you, Jamie. I think we've got a hell of a chance. I think it's also great that we've got Andre Adams coming off another fantastic season in England, so he's going to be in great form. We've got Guppy has had another really good season with Derbyshire, even though Derbyshire haven't done that well. He's done pretty well. Jimmy Adams didn't have quite the fantastic season he had in 2020 last year, but that would have been hard. But he's been scoring runs and doing well. He's just scored a double 100 in the four-day stuff over there, hasn't he?
Double 100 and 140-something against my home country.
Yeah, so he's in good nick as well. Lou Vincent has been playing for
Sussex,
that's right. And although not quite getting the heights of what he did over here in the one-day, he's been scoring runs as well. So all the guys who we need to be in good form, the guys who are probably the marquee players for us, have been playing cricket recently and are in good touch. And
it'll be interesting to see how Rob Quine goes.
Yeah,
well.
Exactly.
Experience,
I was just about to say that.
There before.
He'll be in the same position as all the guys from here, and that he's coming off no cricket, so yeah, he'll have to jump into it straight away as well. But having read Pat Cole's blog when he picked him up from the airport the other day, he's slipped right into Aces training and getting on with the boys, so that's really good. It'll be very interesting to see what side we put out in that first game, actually. Who doesn't make the cut? Any suggestions about who might not be in that 11? Just while we're on the topic.
Chris Martin.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting choice, wouldn't it? He didn't play.
How many are in the squad last week?
We got 15 there, and
so
we're only allowed 11 on the field.
Yep, so Chris Martin won't play.
Michael Bates won't play, unfortunately.
Oh,
you reckon?
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they'll take two. Well, then, could they take two spinners
will,
in?
Yeah.
And that's why you think Michael Bates won't play, Jamie.
Because
they'll
take Bruce Martin.
One of those batsmen is going to miss out, because I think they're going to have to put Rob Quiney in there, aren't they? So that means potentially Anaru.
There you
or
go. It'll
Colin
be
Munro.
Chris Martin, Colin Munro,
maybe.
Anaru Kitchen, and Michael Bates.
There you go. That's Neil's call. I think that's possibly fairly close, with maybe one change around that. They might want to stick with Batesy. Who they then drop, though, is a very tough question. It'd have to be somebody like Daryl Tuffy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Which is a huge call. So, who'd be an Auckland selector? Good luck to the boys over there. The guys are actually still in Brisbane at the moment. They've been training and playing over there for about a week. They leave for India on the 9th, which is what, just only a day? That's tomorrow, actually, in fact. Leave for India, arrive in India the same day, actually, and then they've got pretty much 10 days of training and playing for the first game, 19th of September. Put it in the diary, set the mice guy now, against the Kolkata Knight Riders, 1:30 a.m. So it'll be on the morning of the 20th, our time, when the Aces take their first step in Champions League glory. Don't miss it.
And if you don't have Sky, you can follow live updates on Facebook.
And Twitter. We will be all over it. We will be tweeting, Facebooking, everything we could possibly can to keep you up to date with it. And as mentioned at the top of the pod, if you do need to know any more information or you want to recap any of this, it's all on the website. Go there, www.aucklandcricket. There's heaps of information about what's happening with Champions League. So hope that has got everybody ramped and room to go for the Aces campaign. And good luck to the Aces. Know you're going to do it, boys. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks when we'll be just about right into it, actually. So it will be immersed in Champions League episode. So thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.